Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's your boy, B-Train, a.k.a. Brian Rails. It's a very special edition of Off the Rails Uncensored. See, let's see. First at the top of the hour and 20 minutes. Yes, I said the first at the top of the hour, 20 minutes. I'm going to be discussing with you all the severity, or actually the realness, that is Extreme Rules. And also, Money in the Bank. Now, am I going to be comparing and contrasting the two? Yeah, you could say that. AJ Styles, Nakamura, Ziggler, Owens. Holy cow. Okay, so Owens, Ziggler, Nakamura, and AJ Styles involved in Money in the Bank pay-per-view in St. Louis. Is that going to overshadow the five-man number one contenders match featuring Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe? I don't think it's going to overshadow anything pretty much because, look, both matches have high-end guys. Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Nakamura, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Dolph Ziggler. I mean, this is a dream come true. This is a wet dream for all people who are involved in professional wrestling, the fans who didn't just watch these guys in WWE. It's not just for indie junkies. It's matches that are going to set the tone for WrestleMania next year in New Orleans. Okay? It's a SmackDown Live exclusive pay-per-view, and you see the difference between last year and this year. Obviously, Nakamura was not on main roster. Obviously, people were not paying attention to the potential that could be. Does Nakamura face Kevin Owens, or is he familiar with Kevin Owens? Is there a definitive yes or no answer for this question? I've seen a lot of questions asking me, do I think this is going to be good for WWE on Instagram? And by the way, BTrain05000 Instagram, and also Wrestle_Radio if you feel more comfortable with that one. I'll be flipping in between screens over my phone. First question from Kevin from Lenexa, Kansas. Who do I pick to win Money in the Bank? Honestly, dude, I don't know. I'm not the one who books this shit, but I am the one who's going to tell you. My pick would be Nakamura or Styles, because it'd be smart not just to stick with Kevin Owens or Ziggler. Ziggler is unpredictable, and he has won a Money in the Bank ladder match before. So, you know, you never know in those type of matches. And your next question was, do I believe Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar will happen, or do I think the company is going to shove Roman Reigns down our throats? Here's what I have to say, guys. Whatever the outcome is of either pay-per-view, is it going to overshadow certain things? No. Is one going to overshadow the other? I was hoping that SmackDown Live could do the job. I'm actually knowing that going to St. Louis here in June, and I already got the reservation. We, a couple of friends of mine, we're going. What matches am I looking forward to? Oh, man. Okay, all these questions before my birthday. To answer your question, Tyler from Gary, Indiana. That's funny. I keep getting Indianapolis. I got Kansas. So, anyways, to focus on that question, I'm going to answer directly by saying I do believe that. What do you mean? What direction? Yeah, the company has definitely changed directions, dude, because NXT is invading the main roster. Look, Nakamura, Seth, Balor, Owens, Zayn, Joe, all these guys that I just listed, they've helped invest in themselves and they've worked hard to get to the main roster. So to answer your question directly, has it changed? Has the company's direction changed? And yes, it has changed. So again, the phone lines are wide open at 213-943-3422. Yes, I realize it's a line for Wrestle Radio, but please just, you know, call, comment, whatever. Aside from having my Instagram questions, I would like to have a wonderful set of questions. So, what other things aside from the pay-per-views am I going to discuss with you all? I know there's more matches involved, you know, at Money in the Bank. There's going to be the first ever women's ladder match, which I find interesting. Women are getting extreme at Extreme Rules. It's not the first time. Won't be the last. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley in a kendo stick on a pole match. I don't know why, but I have the funny feeling that Bayley's turning into the John Cena for the women's division. Is that a good or bad thing? Yes and no. You need the John Cena babyface in order for the company to succeed. Why? Because Bayley is, like, in all honesty, you know, she's good for the kiddies and she makes people smile and all that, whatever, vomit, hurl into the toilet. That's just my perspective. That's just my opinion. I like Alexa Bliss because she reminds me so much of Trish Stratus and she will bring out the best in Bayley. So what do I think I'm going to rate that match is what you're asking me? Oh, Tyler is the only one asking me questions. Guys, the line's open. You know, Wrestle_Radio or BTrain05000. There's no comma in between for those of you wondering, okay? All right, so what do I think? Oh, jeez. Let me reread your question. What do I think of the women's division on Monday Night Raw? What do I think of the women's division in SmackDown? Okay, we're kind of deviating from the pay-per-views, but thank God, because I'm not sure. I haven't gotten the full card in front of me. The WWE Tag Team Championships. Okay, see, that has that effect on me. As I'm yawning at some of these questions, because I'm getting a lot of Roman Reigns hate. Jeez. Reading through these questions, I'm not trying to pause like I did last week, so I'm going to sit here and tell you this. I'm going to answer one question that may stand out above the rest. What I think of Bray Wyatt's chances of winning the number one contendership. Bray is a patient individual, obviously, because he waited 4 years, worked his ass off. He was champion for maybe 2 months, barely even that. And dropped it to Randy. I don't think he cares because why? The company is, you know, constant revolving door. The WWE is, that is. Just from observation, you know, from what I've seen in Bray, the man exudes a lot of odd behavior. He's unorthodox. He's a very unique gimmick. And I said it before, the person who tried to argue with me about this, why The Miz is the greatest heel. To each their own. Each fan is unique with their own thoughts and their own ability of way of interpreting different superstars and different talent. So, or different talent, I should say, not going to rope two words that mean similar something. So, to answer your question, I do believe Bray Wyatt has a fighting chance, just like anybody has a fighting chance. You can't sit there and tell me, oh, well, Bray, you know, he's been buried or this, that, the other. Bray should have left to go to TNA. And for those of you fuckers who say, you know, oh, if he went there, he might bring it to life. Look, guys, Bray Wyatt is one of those people, the individuals that you see on TV. You see him. He's kind of like the Charlie Manson, Charles Manson of WWE. Weird, odd, you know, cult-like behavior. No. He's very unique, and a lot of guys would kill to work with him. And I feel you want to talk about being underutilized. People can say that Austin Aries is an underutilized talent, which is true. But can he say, they say the same thing because they're in different divisions and they're not utilizing somebody? Like, all right. That's also one of the topics that I wanted to talk to you about, is underutilizing talent, not using them the way they're supposed to. If people are not buying said person's merchandise, what they look at in WWE, this is just from observing them, they're looking at guys that are all around, fine-tuned machines, guys that can promote themselves, get their merchandise sales up, guys that can get the crowd into it. The main thing is getting the crowd into the deal and having people put, you know, putting asses into seats is a big deal for a promoter. Is Bray Wyatt one of those guys that isn't unique? Because if so, speak now or forever hold your peace. Because CM Punk was one of those guys that were unique, and a lot of people bitched after he left. They didn't get the full story. They just based it off of what one party said, and that's the annoying part about this business, is guys that are underutilized, you know, they may not get the best rap, you know, for the business. They work their ass off and they still get the shaft. So is Bray Wyatt going to have a chance, a fighting chance? Is that what you want me to answer? I know I appreciate these questions, Tyler, but sometimes, you know, I have to set things straight, and I'm going to do it right now. In this business, including WWE, you don't know a shit. You go into it, you hopefully go into it with an open mind. Guys that are considered underutilized talent, Austin Aries is a guy that, you know, Ring of Honor, TNA, yeah, he was utilized. But when you get to WWE, I don't know. It either diminishes, stays, or, you know, you keep going. Guys like Sami Zayn, guys like Kevin Owens, are they being underutilized? Are they not being let loose? Are they being completely misplaced is what I'm looking for, is the word that I was looking for. Are they being misplaced in the company? Some fans feel they are. Some fans feel that they're being utilized properly. I honestly don't want to see Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn Part 5. That's going to drive me up a wall. This is just from my perspective, again. I have opinions. We all have opinions. Opinions, though, are like assholes. Everyone has one. So, like many of the assholes that I just mentioned, that's not making sense. Like what I just said, everyone has opinions. You know, everyone has assholes too. So here's what I'm going to tell you about guys that are underutilized talent or feel that they're underutilized talent. They're not underutilized. It's just the way, you know, the company decides. Austin Aries, honestly, like, my opinion on him is he's a good guy. He's a good wrestler. Could the company use him in a different way and have him as a champion? Yeah. Would it matter? Yeah. Some people, you know, you're never going to be satisfied 100%. You're never going to be completely in the green with certain fans. So it turns into a trial and error. What works and what doesn't work. And speaking of what works and what doesn't work, Jinder Mahal's little championship celebration, I've been asked by certain fans, did I thoroughly enjoy Jinder's celebration on SmackDown Live? Yeah, I don't care. As long as WWE is getting people to stir about it and talk about it, it's created controversy. And the old saying, controversy creates cash. It's the honest to God truth. If you didn't like Jinder Mahal winning the championship and then you told yourself, I'm not going to watch WWE just because he's a champion, but I'm going to check in on my online discussion board just to see if the rumors are true that they're going to strip him of the championship, you can go fuck yourselves. The man worked his ass off, and yeah, it looks like he did PEDs, but honestly, guys, there's ways to get big. There's ways to get big without juicing. I mean, there's ways to juice and get big, not get caught. But if you guys are bitching about him, you should be bitching about... See, I don't do that shit. I don't speak for the rest of the WWE universe when I say Jinder Mahal winning the WWE SmackDown Live World Heavyweight Championship was not a bad thing. Some people not like it because you're very patriotic. I get it. He's the first great Indian heel champion since Great Khali. So whether you love him or you hate him, you're going to have to adjust to him. It gets discussions going. It gets flow going again because now people are tuning in to see if they are going to strip him of the championship. Or are they going to remove him? No, I mean, so dude, just understand that, like, Jinder Mahal winning the championship on the latest pay-per-view for SmackDown at Backlash, I think that the biggest concern a lot of people had was, will he make it through with all of the controversy that we're going through? Will Jinder Mahal I'm reading through your questions right now. These are kind of mean. Do you think Jinder Mahal will have flying carpets for his next title reign? Honestly, guys, flying carpets? Give me a fucking break. I mean, that's funny. But the people that it was a stereotypical celebration for an ethnicity in WWE. If you want to blame anybody, blame, you know, Michael Hayes for his subtleties and adding racial humor. Am I talking bad about one of the big wigs? Yeah. Because, let's see here. Nation of Domination. Whose idea was that? Sure as hell wasn't Armstrong's. It sure as hell was not Laurinaitis' idea, because Laurinaitis wasn't even with the company then. Well, at least one of them. But to see that kind of gimmick... You know, the reason why I'm saying the only negative feedback that I can give the celebration, he's Indian, so you got to give the stereotype of an Indian celebration. Does it make any sense? Does it have to? No. But when you see Jinder Mahal celebrating, he's, I'm going to speak to you in my language, the crowd, yeah, they're heavily booing him. Exactly. Thank you, Marissa, for pointing that out. They're heavily booing him, and he's getting the type of reaction that a heel champion, an Indian heel champion, mind you, is supposed to get. Are people going to etch it out in stone and say this is the type of reaction a superstar should get whenever he or she wins a championship? I'm pretty sure that Alexa Bliss has mastered the mic, because every time that she has called out Bayley and Bayley comes chasing after her like a dog chasing a stick, you know, a human running with it. Okay, so anyways, point I'm getting at is you have to have two simple formulas, or actually just one. A heel that draws attention from the crowd in a negative way. So much so to the point where you actually want to get out of your chair and you want to punch this fucker in the throat. And Jinder Mahal has accomplished that. Alexa Bliss, okay, it depends on the crowd. And I'm using a comparison to Jinder because, well, speaking of heels that are finally getting on board, Baron Corbin. So the match between Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin was very short because Sami Zayn got a roll-up, and when he was celebrating, Baron Corbin attacks Sami. Sami then plays in the role of the victim. So is there a benefit to this madness? Yes and no, because Dean Ambrose obviously, you know, was working with Baron and trying to get him to... And it just wasn't, the chemistry wasn't there. The heated words were, yeah. And the back and forth banter. But back and forth banter can only work so long, and they had so much shit. You know, and what were the positives between Ambrose and Corbin, to be quite honest with you? Nothing, because I just feel like it was a forced chemistry. They're forced trying to work together. A forced pairing, there we go. So, okay, what makes a good heel? That question, like you just said it, if you're able to work a microphone, or if you're not that type, then you should not be on the mic, period. Should have a Paul Heyman, but there's only one Paul Heyman, so he is what us managers have left. Kind of irritating, because I believe that there should be more, at least one more manager. So here's the deal. I titled this, "What's Next for the E?" Because obviously they have a lot going on. You know, what's the state of Nia Jax? What's the state of Tamina Snuka? What is the state of the company's brands, period, not just the women? Where does Enzo and Cass stand? What do I feel about that? I'm getting a lot of these questions in a row, and I'm going to tell you right now, in about 5 minutes, I will go into detail about what I feel. I'm already doing that right now. But from observing WWE programming, I mean, good or bad, indifferent, or if you don't care or give a damn, or two rat's asses about it, or two flying farts about what WWE is doing, and you watch Ring of Honor and Evolve, it's no problem. You can do so. If you want to watch mainly Evolve programming, you can go to flowslam.com. It's $9.99 a month, like WWE Network. Segueing into our advertisement section, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to subscribe to the WWE Network, you can do so by going to WWE.com. Going in, by the way, your first month is free, and it includes, well, two pay-per-views, one Extreme Rules, and also Money in the Bank. So we'll have plenty of time for, well, us to get WWE Network cards. You can get them at your local Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Best Buy. You can even get them at GameStop. And speaking of which, if you are, not GameStop, for those of you who like to make a child's wish come true, you can go to makeawish.org, type in the child's name, and why you want to make their wish come true. So become a Make-A-Wisher. For those of you fighting the good fight against cancer, go to SusanGComen.org. Make sure to catch all the information on their website and where they're headed next. For veterans in need of a job, go to HireForHeroes.com. That's HireForHeroes.com. for all you wonderful veterans, men and women who have served this country. We here, I here at Off the Rails Uncensored would like to say a heartfelt thank you and also heartfelt condolences to those who have lost their lives. Thank you for serving before Memorial Day. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for doing that. For those of you wishing to attend a true awesome wrestling school, and not just awesome, glorious wrestling school, go to www.monsterfactory.org. Be sure to contact Danny Cage. He scares the fucking piss out of me. I'm not shitting you. I'm using bathroom puns. I don't know why. But he's a scary figure. He is very scary. Very friendly, but very scary. And that should not hinder your ability to sign up at monsterfactory.org. His number's right on there. It's 2,500 total. A lifetime membership. I don't know the cost. You'd have to contact Danny. It's $3,000 for non-experienced students, $500 down payment, so $3,500. So please, please, by all means, contact Danny Cage through the number one school. Called Monster Factory. It's number one in the world and number one in the States. It's well known. For those of you in the Midwest area, where my friend, the host of the most, contact Derek Stone on Facebook. Send him a message. It's $20 for a tryout. You can contact him and work. He will work with you on payments. So there you have it. 2 minutes left. So before, this is the precursor. What's next for the Yeet? Where is their company headed, and what stuff they have going on? So they have something called the Mae Young Tournament. Who is going to be involved in said tournament? Because we obviously know that the top names from within the Yeet, from NXT, are going to be included in this tournament. Is Asuka going to be involved? Will Nikki Cross be involved? Will anybody from Maine and SmackDown Live be involved? Just to say that they were in this tournament. And by the way, Jim Ross will be the special guest announcer for this event, which I find highly entertaining because JR was always one of my all-time favorites and broadcast colleague. I compare him to him because they have sufficient amount of knowledge to get you through a match and also be entertained with, I didn't know this shit or I didn't know that shit. You know, those kind of moments kind of get you intrigued because he did okay for his first live match, the Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne match, which was by far one of the best matches for NXT TakeOver in Chicago. And JR announced that match. And I'm going to go a little bit further into detail. Sequentially, in my head, I've written out a few things, what I'd like to discuss with you all, because it is nearing my segment, and I said I was going to talk to you within 5 minutes, and I made good on my promise. Okay, so my random thought for tonight was, what's next for the E? Is that the only thing that I'm thinking of? No. The Mae Young Tournament, to be held by WWE, broadcast affiliate Jim Ross, will be announcing this tournament. You guys have any idea? A lot of people do not talk about women involved in this company. You got Ruby Riott, you got Nikki Cross, you got Asuka, you got Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, who's on the shelf. You have Asuka, you have Aaliyah. Not only do you have NXT women, you got women from around the world. You got Women of Honor. You have, I don't know, people that might be coming from Shimmer, because obviously, where did Becky Lynch come from? You know, little things like I'm going to be happy over, because finally, you know, the women are getting attention that they so deserve, because for years they were just treated like Barbie dolls and they weren't given the opportunities that the men were. And, you know, the men have the Cruiserweight division, they've got main roster, they've got NXT, they've got SmackDown. It's just the luck of the draw. No one used to come and say, oh, I want to see Alexa Bliss. Or no one used to come and say, oh, I want to see Bayley, or I want to see Mickie James. But this women's tournament could involve Mickie James. It could involve Sasha Banks, Alicia Fox. So, not just main roster women, but women who have never been seen before. So, the question is, how successful will this tournament be? I can tell you, JR sees potential in this. Like, Triple H and William Regal's brain, you know, together, genius. They are too genius to be in the room. So, how you doing? What is next for the E? Where is the direction of this company going? Where do I see it going? Okay, well, to answer your question, it depends. Because if they do certain things, fans, like I said, it's always going to be a happy it's never going to be a happy medium. It's always going to be, well, you did this, you did that. So we're not going to do what? Well, we're not going to do this because you guys wanted this. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of how the gist of this works, okay, guys? In WWE, the state of them is their NXT program is doing well. It's doing amazing. Then you have the Cruiser 205 Live, which I don't know. I don't know how to tell you this. So from what I understand, you can always find peace. You can always find peace with WWE. Where is it headed next? I don't know. Man, okay, all these questions. Okay, so in between questions, I'm just going to tell you this right now. It's late. I'm hungry. And I don't need a Snickers bar. Thank you very much, James, for being a smartass. What I do need to tell you is this. The current state of World Wrestling Entertainment, what's next for it? I don't know. I'm not in the company. But I do know that from what I am seeing on the network, from what I am watching, some fans will stick with it and some fans won't. That's just the gist of it. Some fans are bandwagon. Some fans are not bandwagon. It's the way it works in sports, too. When you have a good, you know, your team is doing well, you want to stick with them. When your team is doing not so well, some people will stick with them, and some people won't. What am I using this as an analogy for? The WWE has had its ups and its downs. And by far right now, I think the current state of it is, okay, what's next? Is always going to be the question. What is next for WWE? Are they going to have a tag team tournament, a UK title, a UK tag team championship? Are they going to have an Italian tag team champion? Because they're expanding their doors. They have a WWE shop in India now. They have been through Europe several times. They're going through India in September. So what is next for WWE? It's like an artist that comes out with an album, and they have two or three number one hits per album. They want to know, like, what song's going to be next. Just like when Jericho always comes back from his his break. Yeah, Jericho doesn't go on hiatus. That's not the word to use, Tyler. Apparently been sticking around here for a while. I would say when Jericho comes back, you get a constant surprise. You never know what he's going to do, just like WWE. You never know what they're going to do. They tend to surprise you. Like Ring of Honor, you never know because there's certain people, new signees always coming in. New Japan, new signees coming in, and they get beat up by veterans. That I get that point, Todd. But this is why I tell you, like, if you're really willing and wanting to get out, then go and get out. Don't sit there and dawdle, man. You're wanting to get out and become a wrestler. Okay, well, my advice to you is find a wrestling school with a credible trainer. But my advice to you, just to be biased here, you can either go to NWLTPC, Monster Factory. There's plenty of schools more than that. But most noted ones on this show, if you haven't listened, if you have, cool. But, you know, thanks for saying that you listen to our show quite a bit. And you want to become a professional wrestler? Cool. Then go see Danny Cage. Go see, you know, Derek Stone. Which area are you talking about? Okay, so anyways, guys, I'm going to take a break, if you will, Todd, here for a bit. And just start saying, to WWE, where are they headed? Where are they going? Which direction? North, south, east, west, Japan, what do I mean by what's next for the E? That was the title of the show. So what is next for WWE? What do they have that other companies don't? Well, I mean, they're kind of like becoming the New York Yankees of wrestling. They're stealing everybody and making sure they're the best players in line in order to win another World Series. By far, the WWE is the titan in their own right. I'm not saying they're the best wrestling company, but when it comes to marquee, put your name in lights. You can do that with Ring of Honor. You can do that with Monster Factory. You can do that with certain companies that are, not in Monster Factory's a school, but look at Steve Cutler. Two of their guys are Impact Tag Team Champions. You can be a success without being in WWE. So, to answer one of your questions, Marissa, which I just did, here's the other thing. You can't expect everything to be, WWE'd. So you're asking me what the state of WWE is? I've just told you. It depends, because thus far, they're doing great. They need to pick it up a little bit, so it's not too terrible. No, I don't think it's bad at all, because, okay, so take one look at what they were doing 6 years ago and compare that to now. Obviously, CM Punk was in the company. Yes, I get a lot of you are Instagramming messaging me and saying, messaging me. Yeah, I just said it. This is a unique podcast show. So, to real, I firmly believe that the current state of WWE is in good standing. Okay? It's not good. What do you mean? Okay, so they had a shitty WrestleMania. Does that determine the outcome for their company? A lot of people will criticize and say that, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just, you know, blabbing randomized opinion. So what? It's my show. And for those people who don't agree with me, that's fine. I don't agree with what some people say, and I am allowed to feel the way I feel. Because obviously tomorrow I turn 30, folks. I get it. Thank you to those of you wishing me a happy birthday now. It's hilarious. Okay, so the current state of WWE, The Undertaker is no longer there. Kane is no longer there. And I had a discussion with a fan earlier tonight. Basically, what Reese and I were discussing, that's his name, like kind of like Reese's Pieces. We were discussing the current state of WWE. Brock Lesnar should never be allowed to wrestle unless he's allowed, you know, they're allotting full time. I get that he has a separate schedule, but every major pay-per-view the fucker gets, you know, how many millions when he could be freeing up spots to an NXT guy that's deserving, like Aleister Black. There you go. There's a good, yeah, there's a good possibility that, wow, okay, guys, the possibility that Aleister Black and Bray Wyatt, great, okay, so Elias Samson now is joining the fray in this discussion. What did I think of Elias Samson? I'm impressed. He did pretty well against Ambrose. They work pretty good together. Think they're a good mix. That's what I think. So, again, guys, when you ask me about new workers, here's what I say. You don't sit there if you've worked formerly in the business and say, well, you know, he's great, but he needs work on that. Leave that up to developmental and William Regal to fix that shit. But when it gets to Maine and it's Laurinaitis and Patterson and them and Armstrong and Hayes that's looking at you, if you don't have the it factor, then you're not going to make it anywhere. How am I a judge of talent is what you're asking me? I'm not a judge of anything. You have to look at things from a perspective. What would a fan want to see? And it could fall into a death trap too, because fans like anything and everything. There's a fan that can like the flippy shit. There's a fan that likes ground and pound and submission style wrestling, or they just like amateur style wrestling mixed in with the flippy high flying bullshit. It's not bullshit if it can be pulled off perfectly, but there's different variated styles. Like, you can add MMA strikes in here. You can add Taekwondo if you want to add that into your repertoire. So, I find it entertaining that people are asking, you know, what's next for WWE? So that's why the title is the way it is. Is when, what does, why are we centering stuff on Triple H? Okay, Triple H is not the one that is making all the mess. There's other people that have made messes. Like, okay, so if we're going to sit there and blame Seth Rollins for Finn Balor and the outcome of WrestleMania 33, you obviously, you know, just, I don't know, like, well, no. See, that's, I agree that, you know, if he wasn't injured, then yeah, there'd be issues with that. But Okay. I'm reading through this. And no, I don't want to. I honestly, I don't think the WWE should change just because they should make it more independent style. They're already giving a different kind of slow style, you know. So here's the deal. Not slow style. They're giving different styles and different looks to WWE more so than they have in the past. So the answer to your questions, the WWE is not going to change dramatically just because, you know, you want it to. Triple H is trying to give the fans what they want. It's not all him, though, because there's other people that are part of creative and part of talent relations telling him, this guy has it, but he doesn't have this. This gal has it, but she doesn't have this. It's a constant trial and error. It's like Uncle Bob says, Uncle Brutal Bob. He says, if you're not here to serve, then what are you here for? So you gotta learn to be, you know, objective when you watch WWE, I guess, because if you don't enjoy it, then if you have a child, how are they going to enjoy it? So what is the current state of World Wrestling Entertainment? What's next for WWE? Or what's next for the E? Same company, just different wordings. What's next for it? I'll tell you what. If they can do a good job at Extreme Rules and allow a certain someone to win in that fatal five-man match, find it funny that Raw had to add that in there just to bolster their own ratings. God forbid, that's such a sin, you know. They have better, you know, intent with Kurt Angle's general manager. You have Shane McMahon running things on SmackDown. This is a bit old school WWE mixed in with the new era. Got tag teams like Usos, who are the SmackDown Live champions, which I don't really care for the Usos. Kind of boring, boring as fuck sometimes, and you know, I really don't care. Then you have Breezango, which I like them because they bring about entertainment value to the whole world. So I like them. Okay, so some haters up in here. What we got over here? A lot of haters. Enzo and Cass. You want to know what I think about Enzo and Cass? Here it is. To continue my theory about Enzo and Cass, I believe it's going stale. Yeah. Do I believe that Zoe has a fighting chance against Cass? I don't know. These two knew each other for a while. I really feel the way they're going to build the story arc, if it is to Big Cass, which would make more sense. Because you have people repeating whatever Enzo says. Does that make a difference in his in-ring ability? Kind of, sort of, because Enzo's gotten hurt a couple of times. But I feel that it's ridiculous. I'm just going to come out right and say it. I don't like the fact that they're breaking up because they never got a fair shake at the fucking championships. Same thing with the club. The club got the shaft because, actually, no, they didn't. They won the championship. Oh, boy. Hang on. Trying to read some insight that I got updates around WWE. And speaking of which, something involving Shane McMahon at SummerSlam, what I'm just reading. WWE could have a Shane McMahon's opponent for Summer. What? Why is he still working? Okay, so he's a commissioner, right, for SmackDown. So the question is, oh, for the love of Pete. Okay, no. I don't think that it would be a great idea to have Shane McMahon go back in the ring and, like, he did have a great match against AJ, but he's known not for his wrestling technical skills. He is known, you know, for him jumping off the Titantron and elbow dropping Big Show. He's known, you know. Oh boy. So I just don't understand reading through all this mess. Okay. Yes. Most recently, though, he and AJ Styles put on the match of the night at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. Why? Okay. So, okay. Just reading through this, Bulgarian Brute made a move to Bulgaria, and his sister Sheik was yet to appear on television. Are you serious? So, Rusev may be a potential opponent for Shane McMahon. So, wow, okay. Compared to Raw, would you be happy to see Shane McMahon versus Rusev at SummerSlam? No, and no, and no. If Shane beats Rusev, that makes it so unbelievable, like the time that Vince won the Royal Rumble, but it got a lot of people to talk. So, to answer that question, people, I gotta say, I'm not too thrilled with what I just read. Shane McMahon to be rumored to face Rusev. What's the current state of WWE? As I told you, it has its ups, it has its downs. You know, he could put on a good match with anyone. I just feel personally that he's better suited to work behind the scenes because he's got kids now. There could be an incident where Shane gets hurt, but if you tell him that, he'll tell you to fuck off because he wants to fucking work. I'm highly not against that, but I find it hilarious when people criticize me for criticizing others. Shane McMahon, back then to back now, is still one of the people that you just want to punch in the throat as a worker, because technically speaking, you know, technically sound, no. He is what Matt Hardy called a spot monkey at one point. But is Shane McMahon refined? No, he's still up in your face and he's going to punch you right in the dick. I told you, this is B-Train's Off the Rails Uncensored, so get used to it. It is my fucking birthday because it is on my time. I am just turned 30. Man, do I feel old. I don't need the Bengay. I do need a vision replacement, so maybe if I can go to Japan and give me some supervision, it'd make me so cool. And what does this have to do with anything about professional wrestling? Well, ladies and gentlemen, in about 20 minutes before I sign off here, well, in 20 minutes time, I got a lot to cover. Shane McMahon versus Rusev is one of the reasons why I'm intrigued, but also kind of fearful for Shane, because I like Shane, don't get me wrong, but if that's what's next for the E, because Rusev has not been appearing on TV. So Shane's going to be the authoritative figure that faces anybody that basically messes with him. All right, okay, fine. I'm not in creative control. I just want to point out that if you keep doing that shit with him, he's going to get hurt. I'm pretty sure he got, you know, hurt at WrestleMania 32 against Undertaker, which is what the article kind of stated. He suffered a loss against Undertaker, and Undertaker suffered a loss against Roman Reigns. So, see, it's one big revolving fucking door in WWE. It's always going to be a constant revolving door. I wanted to speak on the Authors of Pain, if I could. They're not a horrible gimmick. It's not them. Yes, it is. I feel personally that, yes, they're a big, monstrous team. They're not Legion of Doom, because obviously Paul Ellering has some influence on what they are and how they are and what they do. Just don't, I'm not a big fan, because you're going to tell me that DIY, it was time for them to break up, and so when they go on the main roster, they're going to face each other, Gargano and Ciampa, that is. And yes, they put on great matches, and yes, I believe you can pull the switch. So they obviously know what they're doing. Authors of Pain, what are the pros and cons of having them as the NXT Tag Team Champions? Well, for starters, you know, the pros are they're a big team. They're on the top of the mountain. People want to tear them down. So if you don't have that team to tear down, what are you going to do? It can go either way. So am I upset that DIY broke up? Yay, nay. I honestly, I don't understand what the hype is for Gargano and Ciampa. Gotcha. I'm just saying the last time they faced off of one another, pretty badass. Qualify for the Cruiserweight tournament. You know, when they have guys like Zack Sabre Jr. in there, when they have guys like Mustafa Ali, Tony Nese, never ending talent. So, Authors of Pain, I ain't going to lie, I'm not a big fan of yours. Simply because it's not just because, oh, they botch moves or, oh, they don't do this right. Selling is a big part of wrestling. Like, if you don't, if you're not proud of what you do for a living, then go the fuck home. Paul Ellering always aligns himself with tag teams that are big named, that are, you know, well-rounded. Well, the only thing well-rounded about Authors of Pain is that they're large and they're ground and pound. They're very, their gimmick is very vanilla. It's your stereotypical large team. I mean, looks like, you know, one of the people from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, one of the monsters from there that mutated into a mutant. So, no, I really don't, I don't get it. Like, I would hope and pray that WWE sees this, but then again, that's like hoping against hope. Because, again, you know, I've used this reference quite a bit. With you know, I'm Jim Cornette podcast. Lance Storm basically stated alongside Jim, you know, WWE creative has been known to not do what people want them to do. I'm not saying, you know, how do you adjust to watching, you know, to Paul Ellering? Is that what you're asking me? No, what's the question? The question is, or should be, how do you adjust, even if you don't like Ellering or Authors of Pain? There's other tag teams. It's not like OI4K. They're not in WWE. Thank you for mentioning that. I understand. So basically, you know, when you guys are asking is, well, I'm getting floods of questions, and also happy birthday wishes. Thank you guys so much. I would say your best bet to adjusting to watching pro wrestling is just watch it as a fan. Enjoy it. Don't psychoanalyze this shit. The only reason why I do it, guys, I'm not entitled as a podcast host. No, by all means, I am not. I'm just saying, you know, these things because, well, from what I've observed, what I've watched on NXT, what I've watched through, you know, Ride Along, what I've watched through JBL show, what I've watched through everything that is going on right now, I think it's a good direction because you can't, I'm not saying you can't hate on it, Tara. What I'm saying is if you don't have a valid reason as to why you just say you just hate them just because, okay, that's like standing in line at a concert and you're right there just a couple feet, but you can't wait. You can't wait to see just, you know, the, you can't wait to get the ticket, so what are you going to do? How are you going to be patient? So, I mean, professional wrestling by grade, you're always going to have moments where you don't appreciate certain things. Like me, I'm upset about the whole Enzo and Cass thing. Not going to lie. But I'm also upset that I have a gut feeling that Alexa Bliss is going to lose the title. Do I have control over that? No. But as a fan, you get to put your hearsay in. You can write a letter, handwritten letter to WWE corporate and say, hey, assholes, I didn't really appreciate you breaking up Enzo and Cass, or hey, I didn't appreciate you letting Alexa lose her title at Extreme Rules. Not giving away spoilers, but here's the thing. Yes, wrestling can be predictable, but if you don't learn to enjoy it as a fan, how are you going to sit there and enjoy any kind of show? Any show at all, okay? So, by that, I'm just going to tell you right now, there will be times when you watch USA Network and you turn it on, you fall asleep. Is it because you worked your ass off? No. It's because you're just not interested in the story. And sometimes that happens. You fall asleep, or you're just not intrigued at all by what's being shown. What is the current state of WWE? It's a question mark for some people. It's, oh, it's going great for some people. And other people just tend to sit there and watch their tube and or watch their TV and say, I'd rather prefer the old school because it was comfortable for me. And that's fine. That is completely fine. But to me, what is next for WWE? Because they keep coming up with all these innovative ideas, and it does great for a month and a half or two. And then I guess that draws people into watching Monday Night Raw because they pull someone up from NXT. Nakamura is a good example. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, Ty Dillinger. I'm going to touch on this right quick. The chants are more over than him. If you think that he is more over than the chants, you are one of his sheep followers that basically say he is better than Daniel Bryan. He is what we have. So see, his chant is the one, you know, or his chants are not more over than him. Again, this is just my opinion. I am not saying, well, my opinion is, you know, the law. No. What I'm saying is Ty Dillinger's little 10 counts, that whenever a referee has to, you know, block out the 10 count and just concentrate on his count, it's distracting, number one. Number two, like, his finishing maneuver is very similar to Punk's. It's called the Perfect 10. You know, it's a backward GTS backbreaker. You know, and he bends it over with a knee and is very safe with it. Cool. So what's the positives about Ty Dillinger? Okay, very nice individual, very humble. It took him a while to get off NXT's roster, but he's still there. Yeah, he's still there because, you know, you pull him up. Maybe they saw something in developmental that needed work. Ty Dillinger is not one of my favorite guys, I'm not going to lie. He seems like a nice guy in person. But from a personal, you know, from a worker's perspective, I'm just not a fan, and I'm allowed to feel that way. What are the, you know, effects of WWE? You know, like, what's next for them? Where do I see them going in 5 to 10 years? Oh, that's an obvious question, and it has an obvious answer. I see the WWE progressing and getting better because they have young talent. And it comes from not just NXT. That's like the ultimate AAA system for professional wrestling. Because obviously you get injections of Ring of Honor, TNA, New Japan, IWGP, PWG, CZW. And most people think, well, you know, CZW, that's completely full of death matches. No one would watch their shit. Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, anyone? Richard Swann, Cedric Alexander, anyone? There's a lot of credible names that have come out of CZW that are not just in WWE. So, again, if you feel like I'm kind of just talking about World Wrestling Entertainment, well, that's kind of what I'm doing for a reason, because I kind of want to get through it without dying of hunger. So here's the ultimate plan, or the ultimate vision I see for WWE. Again, I'm not a part of creative. I'm just a fan, you know, observing. Whenever someone says, where do you think WWE is going? I say, I don't know. They've had their ups and downs, and sometimes it really is fairly obvious what sucks and what doesn't. If you are honest about things, sometimes it has, you know, sometimes it has disadvantages, and sometimes it has its advantages. Do you think certain companies want to hear honesty? No. Does WWE open to suggestions? Yeah, but, you know, force-feeding fans, certain people like Roman Reigns, that is not what we want as fans, but we have no choice because we feel that it's going to happen. Is he a fan favorite in certain people's eyes? Like, I don't care for them. I don't care for him as a talent. Believe that. I mean, it's kind of like when they pushed a guy, you know, constantly keep pushing guys that go to Hollywood, like Batista, John Cena, and pushing him. But, I mean, he did tie Ric Flair's record and everyone was up in arms about it for a week and a half. Oh, well. You know, get over yourselves. Go fuck yourselves. Roman Reigns retiring Undertaker. Did that have any ripple effect on WWE? No, because, you know, Undertaker were going to retire some way, shape, or form. And unfortunately for me and for others, for generations of wrestling fans, it's over. Does that mean WWE is over? No, because not hearing that gong, I don't find it unusual. The man used to have an impenetrable record. What is the state of women in professional wrestling? Well, to be honest, guys, I believe it's come a long way from what it used to be. It used to be just bra and panties matches, paddle on the pole matches. I mean, overall, in general, what's next for World Wrestling Entertainment? Again, it's one big question mark. It's one big revolving door. I think if we're looking at it from a perspective of, well, here's what they did this pay-per-view, so obviously they're going in a shitty direction, you're not giving the company full credit. I mean, I'm sure Uncle Bob will be proud of me that I'm taking a positive spin on things and at least trying to. I'm not asking for seeking anyone's approval, but he is a huge influence, or it still is a huge influence, and I can hear him saying, well, why do you feel this way? What, you know, what makes you jump to this conclusion? I'm not jumping into conclusion, Uncle Bob. I feel that WWE is the way they are because they are not trying to impress anybody. They're trying to give the fans something to talk about. So Jinder Mahal winning the championship has given them kind of a spark and a little bit of a fizzle because a spark as in they needed that to happen because ratings were at an all-time low for SmackDown? No. They needed it because it's something different. It's not the same championship story where the babyface always gets the victory. The good guys can't always win. You don't see very many fairy tales with endings that are depressing and decrepit and sad and lonely. So, again, you know, just be weary of what you say because I don't control what you say. It's fine, but it's kind of irritating hearing some circles, you know, some circle discussions saying, well, I think that Balor should be champion and he's the right one. I don't disagree with any of you. There's a reason why Paul Heyman said that I look forward to seeing you, and unfortunately, the beast is not here. What does this have anything to do with the state of WWE? What's going to happen next? I'll tell you, because I've only got 3 minutes left. The WWE has been through shitty times, and I can tell you that from experience, because in 2008, I went to a 5,000-seat Sprint arena. Barely even that. They had to tarp off a lot of shit. there's a lot of people complaining about the way ratings are going, and when Triple H took over, I guess, you know, that was the fuel that it needed. And since then, you know, back, you know, right now in 2017, the huge difference, huge turnaround, not just both main cruiserweights, SmackDown, the UK title tournament, now the Mae Young women's tournament, and JR especially announcing. I mean, I believe what's next for it, what's next for this company as a whole, it can only be on the up and up, because as shitty as some things may be, you're always going to have the category of shitty somethings. And by shitty somethings, I mean you're not going to necessarily agree with what creative does. And it's, by the way, it's not just Stephanie and Triple H. You want to pin the blame, you start looking up names, you're not going to get anywhere, but you can start looking up names and writing letters and writing random tweets about what you feel about how creative fucked this up and they fucked that up. Again, in order to be in this business or be part of it, you can be a fan, yeah. Not saying you can't be. But please do your research, be good, and be safe. I'm about to head out and get something to fucking eat. Out of real. The state of WWE is on the up and up, because it might surprise you. Ring of Honor, you know, those fancy stick to stuff, the E is, you know, complete bullshit. Okay, well, there's fans that have that mindset. There's fans that say, this company is great. I like it. I enjoy it more than I watch WWE. That's fine. It's on the up and up, if you ask me. What's next for it? I can expect things to get more dark, a little more edgier, because in that time where the economy is not doing so great, and that's kind of a lie. Everybody has a roof over their head, right? Well, not everybody. But anyways, folks, thanks for joining me on B-Train from Off the Rails Uncensored, my birthday edition. And I hope to see you folks next Tuesday. Peace. Have fun. That's what I hope to have tomorrow. See yous, toodles. How you doing? How's it going? See yous. See yous on the flip side.